You wanna see a dead body? Instrumentals from my mama's Christmas party. Troubles on my mind. I still smell crime. My little brother crying. Smokers repeatedly buying my Sega Genesis. Either that or my auntie was stealing it. Hit the pipe and start filling it. Ooh, we cut me some slack. We never did that. This was different. Jeez Louise, please help me relax. Quantum physics could never show you the world I was in when I was 10. Back when 9 ounces had got you 10. And 9 times out of 10, niggas don't pay attention. And when there's tension in the air, nines come with extensions. My daddy turned a quarter piece to a 4.5. Took a L, started selling soap fiends, bubble bath. Broke his nails, misusing his pinky to treat his nose. Shirt buttoned open, taco meat land on his gold. I said, daddy, one day I'ma get you right with 36 sips. 1,000 grams of cocaine, then your name will be rich. Now you can rack it up or sell it soft as leather interior. Drop some ice cubes in it, Debo hard perimeters. He said, son, how come you think you'll be my connect? I said, pops, your ass is washed up with all due respect. He said, well, nigga, then show me how it all makes sense. Go figure, motherfucker, every verse is a brick. Your son dope, nigga. Now reap what you sowed, nigga. Please reap what you sowed, nigga. I was born in 87, my granddaddy.
Yo, the same shit that you welcome to the Cold World Podcast. How you all doing? It's been an interesting last few weeks. Can't wait to share it with folks. But before I start, I think this is the first show that I've done since Prince passed away. So RIP Prince. You will definitely be missed. I've seen like grown folks crying now that Prince has passed, and you know, dude was definitely a gem. I do think we got this problem. We don't really appreciate folks while they're alive, though. You know what I mean? So just off top, let me appreciate some of my favorite people. Okay, my favorite comedian of all time. I think he is the greatest to grab a microphone. It's Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy, here go your flowers, brother. So you can, you know what I'm saying, I want you to sniff those things while you still here. Dude is the greatest to me. My favorite woman, just in general, not even just singer or whatever, but just my favorite woman, Janet Jackson. Take these roses, okay? You take these roses, you know, with your billionaire husband and whatever magic hocus pocus voodoo that y'all have done to get you pregnant at 50. Best of luck to you, okay? All right? Because if Janet Jackson wants a baby at 50, then damn it, universe, y'all just going to give her a baby at 50. I have been in love with Janet Jackson my entire life, okay? Like, remember, if you watch Boomerang, because again, Eddie Murphy is my favorite comedian, actor, whatever, and that's one of my favorite movies. Like, Eddie Murphy has had a crush on Eartha Kitt most of his life, and so he didn't let her being in her 80s stop him from putting her in a movie and having a scene with her, okay? I'm just saying, it don't matter how old Janet Jackson get. Janet Jackson can be 76. I will still stop whatever I'm doing and leave all y'all to go be with Miss Jackson, all right? So, Miss Jackson, you take these flowers, you know what I mean? I want you to take these flowers. Who else? My favorite singers, just of all time, Stevie Wonder, my favorite singer. I'm really sad about Prince, but I would be really, 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 really broken up if something ever happened to Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder, take these flowers, brother. You know what I'm saying? And my favorite contemporary singer is Music Soul Child. I've always been a fan of music. He kind of has reminded me of Stevie. That's not a disrespect to Stevie. Some people are going to probably be sensitive about that. There were just parts of him that remind me of Stevie Wonder. I'm not saying they sing the same or whatever, you know, but the swag. Soul Child, brother, take these roses, brother. You know what I'm saying? And Anita Baker, you take these roses, okay? Because you put out music that can just play. I don't have to hit a skip button or nothing. The beautiful black women, you take these roses, all right? So I just feel like we got to start appreciating people while they're here. We don't do that well enough, and we got to do better. That's just my thought. There's a few things I wanted to go over. There are some articles that I wrote over the last few weeks that I think have been somewhat impactful. I'm going to talk about that a little bit because everybody don't read those articles. They like to hear them from here, and then I'll try to attach them to the podcast. And then just some experiences that I've had in my beautiful, wonderful city that I love, Oakland, okay? Listen, if you've listened to me, if you followed me, if you've read anything I've written before, have heard me speak, you know how much I love Oakland, all right? But Oakland and I are beefing right now. Like, we are not getting along. We are in a full fight, okay? We are not playing by rules. We are talking about each other's mamas. Like, Oakland and I are having some real issues right now, and this might be the end of us. I don't know, okay? I feel like Oakland and I have gotten through worse, you know, but I am older and more mature. I don't know if I'm just going to stand for this abuse that Oakland is dishing out right now like I may have when I was younger and dumber, okay? Because Oakland is really on one right now, but we'll get there. And then I'll close out with just some things that I'm excited about that's coming up. So, first thing, these articles. I wrote two articles that I think that have touched different types of people in different ways, and so I wanted to make sure I spoke on them. The first one I wrote was, it's called Questions for Black Parents to Ask Their Child's Teachers in School. And so before I got into working at schools and what I do now and being able to write and all that stuff, I worked at a small nonprofit. It's not that small anymore, actually. They're doing big things. But I worked at a nonprofit working to get kids in and through college, right? And these kids tended to have not the best GPAs. They had some work to do, a distance to go. And they didn't always have the most cooperative teachers or situation or whatever. And so just from doing that for about 4 or 5 years and figuring out the right questions to ask at schools and to ask teachers and to ask students and parents, like, we saw a lot of success. And we graduated a lot of kids, got a lot of kids in college. We helped change a lot of mindsets. And so the theory was, regardless of how good or bad your school is, regardless of how great or not great your teacher may be, I think there's a certain set of questions that can help everybody up their game. And so in this article, I talked about those. And the one thing that I did learn is that when schools felt like they had a partner in me or in my organization, they tended to do better by my students. And I'm not saying that as a diss to anybody. That's just what I've noticed. I just knew the things that needed to be said to move work forward and to make sure support was there. So, you know, I felt like when people felt like they wasn't in it alone, things just kind of changed. So the article, I wrote it. You got to go read it to see what the questions are. It's below. You can just click it and it'll take you right there. But a lot of parents started to email after that. And I think, you know, some emailed after they tried it and said they noticed the difference. Some had some deeper questions. But it was just really cool being able to help people out and to help my folks out. It's funny because my parents are on Facebook, right? First off, Lord Jesus, thank you for not having Facebook when I was a little child, because I would have gone crazy. There should be some kind of law or rule that can prevent your parents from commenting on your stuff, okay? So I don't know if it's putting like little cute little baby pictures up or being overprotective or whatever the case, but you know. So my parents and I have not always been like, I wouldn't say we super tight now, but the relationship has gone through its moments, all right? Like, if you follow me, you know there's a history there. Love my parents. My parents love me. It just didn't grow up similar to a lot of, it's not the traditional family, parent-son, son-parents relationship, right? So I put the article up, and my dad, he was like, you know, we asked a lot of these questions. We just didn't need to be up at the school for you that often. Now, listen. Now, I give my pops props on a lot of things that dude has done. That dude's overcome a lot of stuff. He's come a long way, you know. But the point and the purpose of that article, I know for a fact, as somebody who's in education, who kind of who works in the schools that I went to, I know for a fact had my parents had a different level of access or just a higher level of being able to maneuver my schools a little bit better, that I would have been in a much different situation. Like, I just know it. I know it, right? And so, like, I knew if my parents understood, like, my reading level or, you know what I mean? Like, all the things that were really at my access that I could have tapped in, they could have tapped into for me. Like, things just could have been pretty different. Now, I ended up turning out okay, but, you know, like, when I graduated from high school, like, my reading level was so off. And I graduated with these high scores, with these high grades. And so if you're not in education, you assume, yo, if I'm getting an A in a class, that means that I must be on grade level. Hell, I might even be above grade level. Wrong. That's wrong. Charlie Murphy voice, wrong. Right? That does not mean that. It doesn't. And there often isn't alignment. Oftentimes there isn't alignment between grades and actual reading levels and things like that. So if you are a parent, I would push and tell you, my advice would be, learn not just the grades that your kids get, but learn what reading level, what math level they're on, like what's benchmark, where, and if they are behind, what do they need to do to get caught up? Or if they're ahead, how do you cultivate that? Like, these are real conversations that you should be having, because it makes a huge, huge, huge difference. So, and I think it's okay to not know all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a real thing. That's a real fear. And the thing that I would say about that is, don't let, you know, your lack of knowledge intimidate you from caping for your child. Like, that kind of needs to happen. You know what I mean? So that, but anyway, read the article. I think it's a decent article. It's gotten shared and a bunch, and I think we're going to try to push it out some more. So you might see an updated version, or you might see it published in some other places. But anyway, for the folks that have been supportive on that, thank you. The other article that I wrote was called How So Many See Us. And this article was crazy. So there was this teacher who did, I don't know if it was an actual teacher that did it or if it was like a cartoonist, right, that just kind of made this. But basically, it was a Seton chart. And the Seton chart was like, instead of saying Charles, Chris, Steven, right, it would say like, homeless, poverty level, bad behavior, like, molested. Like, it was like all these flaws of these kids, right? And the whole class, everybody in the class was kind of filled with these. And I guess this person was trying to make a point. Diane Ravitch ended up liking this post on Twitter or something like that. It was crazy. So this happened like a while ago, but when it made its way to me and I saw it, I was like, yo, that's bugged out, right? Because my thing that instantly went to my head is, one, this is how you see me. Like, I know I get seen a lot of different ways, and some of it's valid, right? Like, some of it really is valid. I'm good, man. I think that like that's fine. But we're talking about innocent kids. You know what I mean? Kids that like are 8 years old and they just coming from where they come from. Like, if like you have to be ready to teach these young people regardless of what their situation is, right? Like, you have to be able to teach in spite of that. And I know it's difficult, it's tough. But you know what? Like fighting fires is tough. But you know, at some point, you're going to have to run into a building that's on fire. Now, that argument can continue to go on around the tools that were adequate and pay and all that stuff. And for the most part, I'm really, like, behind folks on that. I think that pay should be better. I think that the prestige of the job should be higher and all that stuff. Like, this is not an attack on teachers, but the mindset, if you only see me as a kid that's coming from parents with a drug problem and that was homeless, how can you give me your all? Like, how can you, like, if that's the mindset, if the deficit is the mindset, can you really prepare me for the things that I need to be successful? You know what I mean? Or are you just queued up to give me or my parents or society all the reasons why I was unteachable? And so I just wrote about that, and I think that resonated with a lot of folks. But I think it's a conversation that needs to continue, and I'm not claiming to be just right on it. I'm not, you know, I wrote that article from a strictly, and I did this on purpose. I saw it and I just wrote. I didn't edit. I didn't outline it. I wanted to just write something off of pure emotion, because I'm always like really rationalize things, and I just wrote the first things that came to my mind. So you should check that out, because that might be a bit funny for you. You got to find humor in the tragedies of life, or you're going to go crazy. So let me segue from the frustration of education, right? And I love education. So those are just some things that kind of frustrate me. And I don't want this to sound like a podcast that's just all about frustrations, because all this stuff has come from a place of love. So let me transition from there to why I'm beefing with my city, yo. Listen, man, I love Oakland. I love Oakland. I have served Oakland in some capacity since I was 19 years old. Like, I've dedicated my life to, like, people in Oakland, whether it was autistic children as a social worker or foster kids, whether it was teenagers in a youth program, whether it was supporting teachers here, whether it's working at the district, whether it's being on the executive board for UCSF Benioff Children's Hospital, whatever. I've served Oakland in some capacity, right? I've been there for Oakland as best as I could, and I love this place. It's a beautiful city. Before it was coffee shops and all that stuff, like, I was here, right? Yo, so why'd I go look at a condo just around the corner from where I live now? Just similar to my building, similar to my apartment. It's like older appliances. I mean, they get gentrifiers in by saying it's classic or antique or whatever. It got character. I won't give me something new. But I went to go check it out. Decent condo. Until I saw the price, $429. Let me back up. Let me get this emotion. Let me just give you what the facts are. Okay, the condo was a 2-bedroom, 1-bath. It had bamboo floors. It wasn't super big, small rooms. It cost, in an old building, it cost $429,000 of those things. $429,000 with an HOA of more than $400 a month. You understand me? Like, there isn't even a washer and dryer hookup in the apartment. Like, do you hear me? $70,000 more, a 2-bedroom, 1-bath, that would have cost $500,000 in Oakland. $500,000. You got me all the way twisted. This ain't at Jack London. This ain't some penthouse suite. This ain't one of the new uptown buildings that just got erected. This is an old ass building around the corner. Your friends can't even park on the street because it's always crazy parking. You don't even have guest parking. You got one spot. And you want $430,000? And here's the thing. It's going to go for that. It might go for more. You gotta be out your... Listen, I'm trying to stop cursing. I don't curse on social media, and I try to really curse in this podcast, because I want y'all to see the nice, softer side that is Charles Cole, okay? Now, when these mics is off and I ain't writing on social media, it's all bad. But this is making my head hurt. Come on, man. Come on, man. Who's buying? Why are you? Look, I want to meet the people. I want to go back there when escrow closes and whoever has got that place. And I want to say, why? Why did you buy that? Like, do you just not care about money? Is it just not a thing for you? Like, unless you just gonna rent it, and that's what I'm saying. Just not even, like, if it was $350, it's like, okay, I can understand the strategy of getting it and renting it out, right? Because you can make all that back. You can make the profit on, you can make the profit on rent, but I guess you still can. I don't know, man. It's crazy. So listen, I've not lived in California my whole life. I'm not afraid to leave here. Let's be clear. I was born in Chicago and I lived in Kentucky. The happiest I was as a child was in Paducah, Kentucky, son. I have no problem buying a fat house in the country and visiting you people. You think I'm joking? I can afford it. I just read an article. I'll try to tag it. That says it is cheaper to live in Las Vegas and commute to San Francisco daily than it would be to live and work in San Francisco. Let me say that one more time. It is cheaper to get on a plane every day, round trip, from Vegas to San Francisco than it would be to live and work in San Francisco. Oakland is not that far behind. This is crazy. So, I love this place. I love the town. But we having some real issues right now. I'm just not feeling respected. Like, you got to put some respect on my name, son. Word to Birdman. Like, what talent do you want to retain here? Do you want anybody that grew up in this thing? Like, I grew up in North Oakland. Not North. North. With the F. Do you want anybody that grew up in the quote-unquote hoods of this place that has made it somewhat out of that to keep value and culture here? Because that's crazy. And I'm not about this written life forever. Not when I got friends working. Listen, not when I got friends that's living in Atlanta, that's making $40,000, $50,000, living in a two-level house. Come on, son. With a two-car garage. Listen. Living in Alabama with California money is not like living in Alabama. You feel me? Tennessee, listen, man. Living in Kentucky, you're so close to Tennessee and all these other places. It's not that bad. I know that y'all see TV and I know that y'all see them making fun of those places on Comedy Central and CNN. But I'm telling you, I live there. Those places were, Kentucky was beautiful. In the fall, my God, in the summer with the warm nights and the lightning bugs, being able to have a backyard and a lot out front. Or Florida. Listen, for the price, I will deal with racism. Let me tell you something. People think because the Bay Area, y'all think it ain't racist here and you ain't got to deal with that. You got to deal with it all the time. I just want you to know that. It's just different. It's almost more disrespectful here because it's coded. It's all coded. I say at least 3 or 4 times a week I want to punch somebody. Okay? The stuff people say to you here, the way people disrespect you is on some other stuff. It's a different level. It's different level, disrespect. At least if I lived in a hick town or I knew, you know what I'm saying? I'd rather fight the devil I can see than the one that's the one that I can't. I'm just saying. I love it here. I want to stay here. I love the work that I do here. But my Lord, Oakland, you can't just keep slapping me like this. This is not how you show me you love me. This ain't love. This is a This is an abusive relationship. You can't beat me up and take my money. You can't do that. That's not okay. I need intervention. The people of this city need an intervention. What's the plan? Listen, man, I am not cool with spending $400,000 to buy a house that's falling apart in East Oakland. I was cool with that last year around this time, I was like, you know what? I'm down with that. Let's do it. Send me to Deep East Oakland. It gotta just be barely standing. If it got some good foundation, boom, we can build on it. But I'm not about that life. You can live in a Dallas or a Houston or a Denver or a Tampa Bay or a St. Pete, Florida, or an Atlanta or a suburb outside of Chicago. It's just crazy. Well, the other alternative is to move 40 minutes away from here and be on that commute train. It's something, but this is crazy, man. It's rough out here in these streets. I don't know. I mean, I'm blessed. I don't want to just complain and seem like I'm ungrateful. And that might be how it sounds to some people, but you gotta know when to stand up for yourself. Because, Oakland, you hurting me. You are hurting me. You say you love me, but you just keep hurting me. Stop it. Damn it. Have my mama come over here and help me pack my things. It is crazy. Hopefully nobody thought that was insensitive. But that's what that's what this is like. An abusive relationship. Not making light of that. I'm really upset and sad because I'm coming to realizations that I might have to leave this place. And I give Oakland my all every single day. I deal with so much stuff here every day. Every day. You think that you want the city to, you think the city will want you to stay. And then let's talk about the coffee shop, yo. What is up with y'all, man? And you new folks. And I ain't just going to say white people because all of y'all, all of them ain't white. What's up with you new folks? Yo, can I tell you something? Your dog is not a human. Your dog is not a person. Okay? Your dog does not belong next to me in a restaurant where there is food. You understand me? Okay? You kissing your dog and loving and hugging on your dog and letting your dog sleep in your bed, that is totally fine. That is your business. Okay? In your home, that's cool. On the streets, it's cool. Next to my food, you must be out your mind. Don't make me out to be the angry black dude or bougie because I don't want your nasty slobbering dog next to me and my $10 avocado toast. You can't. So I saw the people with the dog, and then I see this other dude that comes in and he just ain't got no shoes on. He ain't homeless. He ain't poor. Because he pulled out a wad to pay for expensive-ass toast, okay? All right? Like, he bought the $13 sandwich and a $6 coffee. He just ain't got no shoes on. I grew up with signs that said, hey, no shirt, no shoes, no service. You know what I mean? But I don't want to see your Paul Bunyan's, B. That is not gangster. I don't want to see it. So let me just get this straight. I can't even talk right now. Let me tell you what I'm not here for. I am not here to make friends with a dog, because you are a dog. You are not a human. And I look at you crazy, and I can never take you serious if you think that your dog is a human. And I'm not here for you walking in this camp with no shoes on around my food. Around my food. Are you serious? Are you serious? I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not gonna do it. Nope. No. 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 Oakland got me feeling some kind of way today. So the other thing that I'm actually excited about, let me end this on a high note, okay? I am writing something new, and it's completely different than anything I've ever written before. Completely, completely different. And the goal is, it's going to be a lot, it's longer, it's not an article. And the goal is to figure out a way to get that knocked out and make that available for purchase for not very much money. Might be a an ebook, and then I might spend some money and get a few copies pressed up just to have. We'll see. It won't be too crazy, but it's just something I wanted to venture in. It's something that reminds me of a friend of mine that's no longer with us anymore. It was something that he, myself, and my best friend have talked about. We're talking about before he passed away, before he was murdered a few years ago, and I just put it down, and I'm just now picking it back up. And so I'm going to work hard. I'm going to try to make sure I get that done. Y'all pray for that. I don't know. It just takes a lot of, it takes a lot of energy out of me to kind of get it done. But I mean, it's raw. It's a very different writing style. It's an uncensored, it's really uncensored. Not writing it for children. I mean, it will be, whoever wants to read it can read it, but, I would say parental advisory should be in effect, and I'm excited about it. I just need to not make excuses. I need to find time to just knock it out. I have a plan also this summer to go and to leave the country and just write for about a week. So I'm working on that. I got a few places narrowed down, but just to, you know, get out the country and, you know, write some stuff under the Eiffel, or next to by Christ the Redeemer. I don't know. It depends on where I decide to go. That Zika thing is kind of serious though. So even though I love Brazil, you, I may have missed the boat on you, son. That just may not be happening. So we'll see. But anyway, man, I mean, I want to end this by saying I'm definitely blessed. I definitely vented with y'all way more than I probably should have today. I recognize that. I recognize how I sound. So forgive me. And I will see y'all soon. So check out the links below. Keep supporting the work the way that you all have. I love the comments that I get about the podcast. Thank y'all for sending it directly to me. Y'all should comment on the podcast. It would be helpful. But, you know, my people don't be following directions. So it's all good. I love you anyway. With that being said, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Sweet. Sweet. Sounds so soulful, don't you agree? I invented sweat. Popping bottles, putting supermodels in the cab. Proof. I guess I got my swagger back. Truth. New watch alert. Few blows. All the big face rollie, I got two of those. Arm out the window through the city, I maneuver slow. Cut back, snap back, see my cut through the holes.
Damn, Easy and Hov, where the hell you been? Niggas talking real reckless, stuck man. I adopted these niggas, fill up drumming them. Now I'm about to make them tuck they whole summer in. They say I'm crazy, well I'm about to go dumb again. They ain't see me cause I pulled up in my other bins. Last week I was in my other bins. Throw your diamonds up, cause we in this bitch another again.
Photo shoot fresh. Looking like wealth, I'm about to call a paparazzi on myself.
Live from the Mercer. Run up on Yeezy the wrong way, I might murk it. Flee in the G450, I might surface. Political refugee asylum can be purchased. Everything's for sale. Got 5 passports, I'm never going to jail. I made Jesus walks, I'm never going to hell. Couture level flow is never going on sale. Luxury rap, the Hermes of verses. Sophisticated ignorance, write my curses in cursive. I get it custom, you a customer. You ain't custom to going through customs. You ain't been nowhere, huh? And all the ladies in the house got them showing out. I'm done, I hit you up, man. Nah. Welcome to Havana, smoking Cubanos with Castro and Cabanas.